Welcome, everybody, in another episode of the Wrestling Versus the World podcast. If you're enjoying your day, sweet. If not, what the hell ever. Okay, this is episode number 164. Yeah, I believe so. March 9, 2013, episode of Saturday Morning Slam. I am so glad I only have 9 more episodes of this show to watch through. Because that's right, July 31st, 2024 will be the final Saturday Morning Slam review. Then I can move on to the next project within the podcast. So, this is going to help for my mental sanity. So, the show is opening with a theatrical-style video package about Saturday Morning Slam. We're in a state of disarray. Nobody can control this G-rated show. Oh my god. And people are just so arguing last time about who should run the show. And again, who wants to control this show that people don't salivate over? So then after this video package, we had shown Teddy Long talking to Natalya backstage, and that both he and Booker T praise her for a backstage interview role and everything. Like, oh, you're doing a great job, playa. And Natalya's like, yeah, but my eye is running the show. And then this props AJ Lee again in here and remind us that, hey, I used to be GM of Raw. Yeah, and people don't really look at that finally now, do they? So she thinks herself and Dolph Ziggler should run Saturday Morning Slam together instead of Natalya. And Teddy decides both women should sell this in the ring today, even though he doesn't have an authority role on this show to book matches. But yet he can say that these two women have to fight each other on this show to settle their differences. Okay. That's convincing. And we also find out later on that we're also getting Daniel Bryan, who is tag team champion, versus Wade Barrett, who is the Intercontinental champion, as the main event. Okay, this actually looks interesting. So let's start off with the opening match. AJ Lee versus Natalya. Dolph Ziggler, he's joining Josh Matthews on commentary with his dented up Money in the Bank briefcase. Why do I have a weird feeling that briefcase is sitting somewhere in WWE's headquarters or warehouse or wherever it is that they got all the stuff stored at? So the camera cuts are hitting early as Natalya is just messing with AJ, like with push-ups and rolling around and shit. And she even spins around on her shoulder while trying to prevent like a sunset flip, like spin, round, round, and all that crap. AJ tries going for the sunset flip after being let go, and Natalya just sits through the move, gets a near fall out of it. And AJ, she starts showboating and skipping around because she gets a roll-up attempt. Yay, woohoo! And she runs out of the way to avoid taking a sharpshooter. And then a camera cut stops a view of AJ getting a falling arm breaker on Natalya. Because again, I guess a move to an arm is too devastating for children. Then AJ, after this, she starts working on Natalya's left arm. Okay, at least there's consistency there. AJ, she gets like flipped off of Natalya while jumping on her back for a sleeper hold. And she scurries to the rope to once again prevent the sharpshooter, thankfully. Now, I can give a praise for this creative moment. I don't think I've ever seen this in a match. AJ, she jumps into the ropes and she's wrapping herself around the top rope, similar to like how Lita did that to Matt Hardy during that ladder match during Raw Homecoming against Edge, you know, where Matt's arms were trapped and Lita just wrapped her arms around and legs around there on Matt to stop him from escaping. AJ was doing this to the ropes, so Natalya decides to grab the ropes and starts shaking them repeatedly up and down until AJ let go and slammed to the canvas. Okay, I mean, it's a little iffy, but I gotta give points for creativity. Give me something special here. Then you get to all this finishing, like, sequences. So Natalya, she gets a front dropkick to AJ's back, and she starts remembering it's her left arm. It's like, oh yeah, it hurts. Oh no. It's like, okay, where has this art been after all these years still? You have people who get a body part worked on, and then they act like it's nothing afterwards. Very rarely do we see any consistency. So then, after this, AJ, she gets shot to the corner, and she does that whole double boot reversal, like, putting her legs up to stop somebody from charging at them. Camera cut stops that. She gets on the top rope, crossbody to Natalya, but Natalya rolls through and gets the pin. Yeah, so a lot of matches have ended with crossbodies in the show. And I was thinking to myself, didn't we see a match already on Saturday Morning Slam at least once where somebody won after rolling through a crossbody and getting the pin because somehow that's enough to beat somebody? And it turns out there was. Because I completely forgot about this. December 1st, 2012, that's how Ted DiBiase Jr. lost to Jinder Mahal on the show. Top rope, crossbody, rolls through, all that's it. So, not the first time we've seen this kind of finish here. And then post-match, AJ, she's getting emotional. No, I lost it! And Dolph's got to get off commentary, console his girlfriend. Oh, it's okay. You'll get her next time. Just wait until December when you both have a match at TLC. It's okay. Well, then after this, we're starting to get more hype packages talking about the fact that the show's got to have a general manager. Nobody control these people on this G-rated show, even though we're not doing anything drastic. It's not like people are hitting each other over the heads with trash cans and all that crap, and ripping bras off. I don't know. But we even get a fun, like some fun past clips to talk about past general managers, including Roddy Piper's time as the WWF on-screen president in 1996 after, you know, Vader attacked Gorilla Monsoon. And he was asking, hey, Vince, does this mean I'm your boss? Like, okay, I mean, that's a good question. And then I noticed something here. We see a clip of Shawn Michaels when he became the commissioner in late 98, which had the WWF Scratch logo covered in the bottom left corner of the screen, but I guess the obscure one where the white and the red parts are kind of separated a little bit on the microphone around there, that one's okay, because that didn't get blurred out. And then we're reminded that Johnny Ace was a GM. I'm getting nightmares! Stuff like this makes me want to get high in order to prevent this, like, nightmare now, don't we? So now, before we get to the main event as well, we get the Saturday morning spotlight focusing on the Dazzler, Daniel Bryan. Still no clue what that means. In terms of a nickname, we just get told, oh, he wants to dazzle the WWE Universe. Okay, but still, give a description. Define that word. Do what Lance Storm used to do. Pull out a piece of paper with the Webster's Dictionary meaning on there and read it off so that people can understand what that means. Give me a description, damn it! Anyway, the video package just focuses a lot of the whole yes, no chance comparison to a Go, Team Hell No clips. And again, still this whole Dazzler thing. I am the Dazzler! Yes! No! Whatever! I don't give a fuck! So then we also get another backstage interview, and this time it is not with Natalya. Instead, there is this interview dude named Tony. No clue who he is, never seen him before. He asks Daniel, why do you want to run the show? Well, Daniel says that the person that's running the show should be even-tempered and well-groomed, implying himself, which the fans laugh at. And then Barrett gets involved, asking him a few questions. Can you beat me? No! Will I knock you out with the bullhammer elbow, or whatever the fuck it was called? Yes! Will you be the same afterwards? Maybe. And Daniel was just like, that guy needs a hug. No, I think he needs more than that, okay? At the very least, he needs better theme entrance music compared to what he was going through with this time. So now we got the main event. Daniel Bryan? Wade Barrett? Kane is on commentary instead of Dolph. So then Kane notes right before they go to commercial that he wants to be the sole GM of the show rather than co-GMs. I am the general manager of Saturday Morning Slam. Now watch me light everything on fire. And then after the break, he says, oh, we need an Inferno match at some point. I mean, yeah, I know he was referring to Saturday Morning Slam, but it almost feels like he was foreshadowing what we would see at SummerSlam against Bray Wyatt. Nice little moment there. So Daniel, he's going on offense. He gets an arm drag on Barrett. He tries working on the left arm. Completely pointless. Gets a dropkick on Barrett, and after he bounces off the ropes, trading offense and all that shit, Barrett rolls out of the ring to avoid Daniel, but then he runs back in to avoid Kane. And then he gets put in, in that surfboard stretch type of hole, but instead of Daniel locking his arms, he jumps through, so, double knee smash into the canvas. Because he's pandering to the crowd. Huh? Can I hear you? Yes? No? What? Do the move! And then, noticeably, you have to have done some video editing in here, because things did not make sense in here, especially because they're trying to fit into the time and everything. So the camera is focused on Kane and Josh Matthews talking, and then all of a sudden you can hear audio and jump into a video where Daniel's trying to do those yes kicks to Wade Barrett just out of nowhere. So yeah, they had to condense some stuff, and some of those kicks were hitting. Daniel bounces off the ropes. Barrett gets that big boss man slam. I think he calls it the wind of change or whatever, and we get a camera cut from the impact. Still near fall. Go to commercial, you come back. Daniel gets put on that kneeling surfboard stretch where he's in a C position. Barrett's got a knee in his back and wrenching back the arms. Daniel bounces off ropes, takes a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker for near fall, and again with the camera cut to avoid the impact. And then Barrett, he does something with a slingshot. I think maybe a slingshot backbreaker. But again, camera cut stops you from seeing the impact or what move was done, so I can't tell you exactly what he did. We saw the slingshot, but no impact to whatever was happening afterwards. And then afterwards, Daniel gets put in another surfboard stretch. So, rinse and repeat. Daniel, he's doing his comeback sequence off the rails, running clothesline, corner dropkick, and then he avoids a pump handle maneuver that Barrett was going for, runs off the ropes, crawls all over Barrett, gets a crucifix pin, that's it. So, yeah, that was fine. Better than the opening match. And then post-match, Kane is still sitting there in his commentary table, with his tag team championship over his shoulder, headset on, and Daniel's just jumping all over him, hugging him, like, yes, I beat Wade Barrett. Great, that's not going to lead to anything involving the Intercontinental Championship for another 2 years, though. Hate to spoil it there. And Kane is like, Josh is like, hey, that's your friend. Kane's like, no, that is not my friend. He is my tag team partner. Yeah. Really shows how united these two are. And then to close the show, we get the announcement that next time, the March 16, 2013 episode of Saturday Morning Slam, we will get the announcement of who will run this TV G-rated show. Ah, God. Why? Again, are people salivating for this? Because I'm not. Not at one bit. So overall, this episode wasn't bad. I mean, like I said, the opening Divas match, you could just, it's hit or miss. Like, not a whole lot of action to really care for. And this main event was alright between Barrett and Daniel. I mean, you can't expect much from a Saturday Morning Slam match and everything, but I mean, this was alright. But I mean, I still have to question, how does Teddy Long have the authority to book a match when he's not running the show? Holla, holla, holla. You're not supposed to book one woman against another. You're supposed to make him go one-on-one against The Undertaker. Ba-dum-tsh. But anyway, that's going to sell it for this episode. Let me know what you all thought in the comment section below, what you thought about this episode of Saturday Morning Slam. I can't wait another 9 more episodes to finish, and it can all be done. So, if you enjoyed today's episode, folks, please remember, leave a like, subscribe to the bell, turn on if you're listening to this on YouTube, or follow if you're listening to this podcast on any other service that this podcast is available on, and I'll catch you all in the next one. Thanks for listening, folks. Like, comment, subscribe. Peace out, and good day, everybody.